Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now it's 6:15 and we're going to the first of a series of reports from our correspondent Katie Hannan on what changes we're facing to meet the targets set out in the Climate Action Plan that was launched last week. Today Katie is here and she's focusing on farming and on food, Katie.
Yes, Mary, because in terms of where our carbon emissions are coming from, agriculture is a biggie. It accounts for 1/3 of our total greenhouse gas emissions in Ireland. And the most recent data from the EPA, the Environment Protection Agency, it predicts that greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture are on course to increase steadily over the coming years. But the Farm Advisory Agency, Chagas, has a plan, and it says that if every farmer in the country plays ball, we can meet the target set out in the Climate Action Plan. And that target is basically to reduce the overall carbon emissions from the sector by 1/3 by 2030. Now, we're going to look at that plan in a moment. But first, I want to play you some of the thoughts of the sixth class children of Skull on Spirit Nave from Leitaun in County Meath. I met up with these very environmentally aware children on a school trip to Cool Planet, which is Ireland's first interactive of climate change experience. It's down in Powerscourt in County Wicklow. And Mary, I'd really recommend it because it to anyone who wants to find out about what's happening with climate change. And I spoke to these children after they had watched a very thought-provoking video on what changes are on the way if we don't tackle our carbon footprint. And the first sound you'll hear here is the last few seconds of that video.
Scary about what's happening to our world.
It like kind of opened my eyes to actually see what was gonna happen, and that we needed to do something like now. We need to like react, and it's like considered an emergency now, so I think people really need to like get up and do something about it.
It's all around you. If you just look for the signs, you can see them everywhere. How everything's changed since the past, like, I don't know, 10 years. And how loads of stuff is worse than it was before. It's warmer, our storms are worse.
Would you change how you eat to be kinder to the planet?
Probably eat less meat because of the methane that cows produce.
I do try not to have meat every single day, but it is kind of hard because it's very nice. But I know I have 3 friends who are vegetarian, and they're doing really well. One of my friends has been vegetarian, I think, for 2 years now, and she's only 14, 15 actually.
And is she doing that for environmental reasons?
Yeah, I think she's doing environmental reasons and as well because they are animals and she does feel bad.
To be eating the animals?
Yeah.
Do you feel that adults and the people who are supposed to be making the decisions here are doing enough?
No, not really. I think we need to like act and like quicker and put more work into it. There's some people that don't think it's true, and like Donald Trump doesn't think it's true, and he's trying to tell his people that it's all lies. And like we can see that stuff is already changing and that we need to act now.
The Leitaun County Meath children at Cool Planet in Powerscourt. Katie, how do we compare to the rest of Europe?
Well, Europe struggles with this right across Europe, basically. There's only been a 1% reduction across the EU since 2005. Irish agricultural emissions did fall a bit from 2005 to 2011, but they have since risen very sharply, and that's largely because the EU lifted the quotas on milk, and we've had a massive increase in dairy herds since then. And that's because of the quotas, and because there's money in milk, basically. It's the most lucrative sector in farming at the moment. So you're looking at two competing forces here. On the one hand, the sector is working towards targets set out in Foodwise 2025. This is the 10-year vision for farming. That wants to see a 60% increase in the value of agricultural production and an 85% increase in the value of exports from the sector. But of course, at the same time, they're being told they must cut emissions by 1/3. So how do you have a government cheerleading this huge growth, dramatic growth in the value of agricultural output and at the same time demanding these emissions? So I put this to Kevin Hanrahan, who is the head of the Chagas Rural Economy Programme.
The three big ticket items within that report are that deliver the most savings in greenhouse gas emissions are what's called dairy EBI, changing the genetic nature of the cows we use to produce milk so that they produce more milk. And for a given quantity of milk, we would need fewer cows, and hence we'd have fewer emissions. changes in the type of fertilizer we use, and also changes in the in how we spread slurry on farmland. So those are the three big ones, and there's another 24 measures in total. The full adoption of all those measures by Irish agriculture over the period to 2030 should allow us to hit the targets we've been set within the Climate Action Plan, whilst still having an agriculture system that is based largely still on producing meat and dairy products off of grassland.
So that's the plan, Katie, and it'll involve massive changes, and it needs to be 100% implemented to hit these targets.
Yeah, that is the plan, and that is the problem, really, because it is it's stretching it to its absolute limit. And when you look at the Climate Action Plan, it sets out what we need to do, but it doesn't put in place any idea of the incentives you need to have there to encourage farmers to make these big changes. Speaking to farmers around the country ahead of the European elections, I met a lot of farmers up and down the country, and it's clear they're really feeling the pressure. On the one side, they have Brexit bearing down on them, and then on the other side, they feel, you know, at the centre of this increasingly heated debate about their role in climate change. This is Nigel Renahan. He's a beef suckler and poultry farmer. His farm spans the border near Clontibret on the Cavan border. And he was complaining to me that politicians weren't defending farmers enough. I reminded him that agriculture accounts for one third of our emissions. Here's how he responded.
Jeez, let's be honest here. Like, you know, dairy farm accounts for... We're an agricultural country. What do you expect? You know, we're not like Germany where we're producing huge amounts of cars. We're an agricultural country. So if we are an agricultural country, you're going to get agricultural emissions come from the agriculture sector. That's crazy. That's like going into the City of London and saying, oh, London, yous are great. Yous produce very little greenhouse gases from agriculture. There's no bloody agriculture in London. So, you know, let's be relevant here. Horses for courses. What's relevant in each country? In the name of God, like, you know, people are asking questions, God, we've big emissions from agriculture in Ireland. Of course, we're an agricultural country. The same way as Germany has huge emissions from the car industry that they have out there. So let's just keep everything in proportion. Yet and all, we're an easy target. What about the cars? What about the jets and the transportation? Nobody wants to pin down them, because everybody's given out about them are the same people as using all these modes of transport, like the you know, going to planes out in Brussels. Most of the people travelled across Europe. They didn't turn around and sit on their laptop and say, we'll do FaceTime and all this day and we'll have a conference that way. No, they were quite happy to go out there, you know. So let's keep things in perspective here.
So the farming view there from Nigel Renahan. You spoke to an environmental scientist also.
Yes, Cara Gustenberg is a UCD fellow in environmental policy and actually a member of the Council of State. She says that the section in the Climate Action Plan on the agri sector was very disappointing.
It's still very much a business as usual approach to agriculture, and doesn't even mention the issue of increasing the herd size, because obviously if we keep adding more cattle to the national herd, we keep increasing emissions, and that's really not covered. And that's why diversification becomes so important for our system. It does talk about forestry a bit, but again, not at the level of ambition of the Joint Oireachtas Committee. If we don't tackle agriculture to some degree, it means the changes we have to make in transport and in energy become more extreme. And of course, ultimately, those are changes that the householder has to implement. So it becomes harder for the householder to make those kind of severe emissions reduction cuts if we, for example, just leave agriculture off the hook. But another thing is, even if we don't design policy to address emissions from agriculture, I think the market is going to determine a lot of this. I mean, if you look at the biggest threat to Glanbia is plant-based milk. Lab-based protein and meat, it will become a thing in the future. So if we don't start dealing with these issues now with respect to climate change, I think the market will catch us by surprise, and we won't be prepared for the changes in market demand and consumer demand.
And John Gibbons, then, he runs the Think or Swim blog. He's one of those commentators on environmental issues who's been highlighting what he says is the magical thinking in Foodwise 25, this idea that you can keep increasing the value of your produce and yet cutting back on emissions. Here's what he told me.
We're uniquely inefficient at producing wealth per kilogram of carbon dioxide. Within the European Union, we're the worst. We produce the least amount of euros for the most amount of carbon dioxide from our farming system. Why? Because it is so front-loaded with meat and with dairy. And these products are intrinsically carbon inefficient. We're heading towards an emergency period, what's called a long emergency. And in an emergency period, a lot of the frivolous stuff disappears. I suppose the last emergency in Ireland was 39 to 45. While we didn't have a war here, we had an emergency. There was rationing, there was scarcity. But you know what? We pulled through. And the other interesting thing about the last emergency in Ireland was that Irish farming landscape changed dramatically because beef and dairy weren't able to cut it in terms of feeding people. So what happened was we had a big spike in tillage. And if we want to look at a food security system or food secure system, even leave climate and emissions out of it, you've got to find the most efficient way of getting food from the ground to your mouth. And routing that through an animal's digestive system is the losses involved, the energy losses involved are colossal. Now, this might sound a little apocalyptic, and also it's very difficult for people who are used to the way we live now to imagine a different future. But I believe the writing's on the wall. We're heading into a very different future.
Katie, what have the farmers got to say about this?
I went up to Edenbert in Cavan, Mary, to where Thomas Duffy is the third generation farming his family farm there. He's just 27. He's the current president of Mochrane Pharma, and he took me out on the farm to admire his herd.
Six!
How many cattle am I looking at there?
You're looking at about 95 dairy cows at the moment, quite contentedly grazing in one of their paddocks.
Now, of course, we're hearing all the time the hugely expanded dairy herd is one of the big emitters of greenhouse gases.
Yeah, and like, you know what I mean, all ruminant agriculture ultimately is an emitter of greenhouse gases. But it's very, very important to kind of recognise while all forms of ruminants might release methane and there is challenges there to reducing its carbon emissions, Irish agriculture is one of the most efficient in the entire world. And also, more importantly than that, Irish farmers are actually working very, very hard to reduce our emissions, both per kg and as a total. We are the only country in the world that does farm-by-farm carbon assessments. That's massive because ultimately you can't manage what you can't measure. We need to introduce measures that work for farmers and are actually practical, because a lot of the suggestions that we're hearing at the moment are simply not either economically or physically or climatically, realistic.
Is it time to cut the national herd?
Well, now, that is a very controversial question in the farming community. Here's what Kevin Hanrahan from Chagas said to me.
Yes, but it would also be a cut in the level of economic activity, what people are doing, and would potentially be cutting off the incomes of the farmers involved and the incomes of those who depend on the activities of those farmers. The number of beef cows is projected to decline because of the fact that many farmers are not making very much money from being beef farmers. So that over time, even in the business as usual case, that those cow numbers could decline. They'll go but definitely decline from their levels today. One thing that people just need to remember is that both dairy cows and beef cows rely on the grassland resource that Ireland has. And if we reduce beef cow numbers dramatically through policy measures, for instance, that grassland is likely to be used by dairy cows. And actually, the emissions per cow are higher from dairy cows than beef cows. So we need to do this carefully.
So, yeah, that was Kevin Hanrahan there from Chagas. I should say it might have sounded like at the top that he was saying we should. He's not saying we should reduce the herd. He's explaining there why that would be a huge issue. Finally, there's some other issues here, Mary, that I would like to get back to maybe later on in the week when we go back to this. I just want to go back to Thomas Duffy, though. He's a young farmer, and it's ultimately it's farmers like him that will be at the sharp end of all of these climate change issues.
Certainly, as a young farmer, looking at my land and looking at, say, the last summer, I mean, I have to be realistic about it. I'm going to be here for the next 40 years. If this is going to become the norm, if we're going to get flooded out of it every winter and our ground is going to be burning up every summer, agriculture is going to get far, far harder, far less profitable and far more stressful for us. Oh, it absolutely terrifies me. Now, look, you know what I mean? We will adapt. There's always a certain amount of mitigation. But I don't want to see an Ireland where we have to be investing in irrigation, or flood controls. So in reality, the best thing that we can do is to address the climate change and leave a better place for the next generation coming on after us.